My name is Sanny, like Sunny, only with an A. S-A-N-N-Y. Lauren Libby has asked me to give a testimony this morning about the promises of God. Now, of course, I'm happy to do that. And as I saw you folks come in, there are more that I know than I realized, so my testimony should be this similar to what you've heard before. Of course, so is the testimony of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They've been the same for 2,000 years. However, this is not in the same category, obviously. But the promises of God, what a privilege to speak about that for a few moments. They give us hope. And hope is confident expectation of a future good. It's a certainty. Just a couple years ago, I was over here at U.S. Swim Fitness, now called Ballet Total Fitness, where I work out a couple days a week. And I was in the locker room, and some fellow I'd never seen before had the locker and a couple of lockers down and said, not expecting an answer, but just saying, "Oh, how are you?" Well, I had one of those moments. I came up with this quip I sometimes use. I say, "Well, from my age and shape, I'm not bad." And he said, "Well, you'll be around for a long time." And it just popped in my mind. I said, "Well, maybe so. But the time will come for my funeral. But you know something? When it does come, I won't be there." And I waited for a moment till that sunk in. I said, "There's a promise in the scripture that says that God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he will receive me. So when my funeral comes, I'll be long gone." Well, that's a promise. That's a great promise. It's a promise of hope. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." No matter how many, and there are many. I knew once, and I couldn't find it anywhere, and I don't know how to count them up myself, but how many promises there are in the Bible? There are many. I think of the Bible like a South Africa diamond mine. It is strewn with gems in the form of promises. They are all over the place. Unfortunately, many of them are unclaimed, maybe most. I just shared one. I want to share three more in these few moments. Very familiar, Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." When I was 17, one night I was lying in bed thinking about it. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd heard the gospel. I thought, well, maybe I did receive Christ when I was a boy back in Iowa during Sunday school. But I couldn't remember it. So I decided to make certain, and I slipped out of bed on my knees and I said, "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that you died on the cross for me. And if I have never asked you to come into my heart before, I do ask you to come in right now." And I crawl back into bed. Jesus kept his promise. He came in to my heart and my life. He transformed it. For instance, the Bible came alive. It had been dry as dust before. Now it came alive to me. Prayer, I wanted to pray. I wanted to serve the Lord. And then it says he would sup with us. He would live with us. I'll live with you and you with me. And for 59 years now, he's lived with me and I've lived with him. He's kept his promise. He has been faithful. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Well, as I said, the Bible came alive to me. And I remember that I don't know where I got the idea. Somebody that I saw underlined verses in red that they liked. That first Bible, I still have it. the whole Gospel of John is underlined in red. I mean, it was terrific. And it was somewhere along in there that I heard somebody talk about a life verse. I thought that was a great idea. So I began to look for a life verse, and I got a life verse a week. But one stuck and has stood out all through the years from those days. That's another promise, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The first test of that was with my dad. Of course, I shared with him, tried to witness to him, and outwardly, at least, it was a disaster. It was terrible. My dad would get so angry. One day he said to me, "Son, if I'm not good enough as I am, I'll go to hell." Well, I backed off, went off to school, quit preaching to him, wrote him letters, the newsiest letters I could write, things he'd be interested in. Then I began to put a verse of scripture on the end. Not gospel, but some verse that I knew he'd agree with, especially something from Proverbs. Talking about hard work, etc. And he wrote me one time and said, "I like those verses you put there." And then I started putting the references. So he'd look them up. I remember I gave him one, he wrote back and he said, "You know, I'm going to memorize that to get the greatest good out of it." Well, he never told me exactly what happened, but he went back to his mother's funeral a few years later, and there was some terrible family upheaval. And he wrote to my mother, who told me, he said, "I no longer have Christ in my head, I now have him in my heart." And I know when I came home, he said, "Son, let's read the Bible together, and let's pray." And he led his way to our knees together to pray. And the rest of his life, he was an unabashed follower of Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The second great test of that promise was when Lucy and I were sent to Seattle during World War II, our first navigator assignment. And I was supposed to work with military. The only trouble was I didn't know how to work with military. I mean, today people are trained. I wasn't then. And I was trained to pray and believe God, but the actual how-to, I didn't know. So trying to figure it out, I started a Bible club with 9 high school boys that I didn't know how to do while I was trying to figure out how to read servicemen. And Lucy had the girls in a Bible club. Well, you know, those boys and their later become wives served the Lord on 4 continents. And I'm still in touch with some after all these years. And I can tell you that 1 Corinthians 15:58 is true. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And as far as my military work was concerned, I only had contact with one lieutenant in the Army. I remember Doss called me one time and said, "Well, how's the work going?" I said, "Terrible." He said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I've only got one contact." He said, "Well, pour your life into him." Well, I should have known that. But I began to do that. This guy proved to be one of the most faithful men I've ever met in my life. Started to meet the Lord at 6 in the morning, 5:30, and then 5, reviewing 200 or 300 verses a day. When I left the area, he took over the ministry from me. When I went with the Billy Graham team, he came to assist me. A few years later, I went back to help, and I found out he was my boss. And that one-man Bible study has now, for about 40 years, been in charge of the counseling and follow-up for the Billy Graham Association. 80 years old, he's excited today about what he's doing as the day he started. And he's still, this year, we'll be personally training some thousands of counselors. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do you have a Sunday school class that maybe isn't going too well? Not many show up? couples group that's just sort of struggling? Well, take the ones God gives you. Pour your life into them and see how far you'll go. And I'll tell you, your labor will not be in vain in the Lord. That's a promise. Well, one more. Isaiah 43:4-6. When I was 20, I got a letter from Dawson Trotman inviting me to come to work with him in the Navigators. In his letter, he said, "Nathaniel, there'll be no salary. You can come and live with Lila and the kids and me in our home. And we'll just share and share alike." So I did that. I've been working with him a few months, and I began to notice something that grew on me, that there was sort of a certainty about it. It wasn't cocky, but he was sort of sure about some things. And not knowing how to sort of say it or ask it, I said to him one day, I said, "Dawson, seems to me like you feel like you're a man of destiny." He said, "Oh, I don't know about that. But I do know one thing, that God has given me some promises that I know He is going to fulfill." Well, about 20 years later, Dawson had been in heaven 5 years. I'd been president of Navigators for 5. I had a midlife crisis. Didn't know what that was way back then. I wish I had. It wouldn't have bothered me so much. I would have felt like I deserved it. So I turned over the administration of the Navigators to Rod Sargent. I said, "Rod, I'm going to go and meet with God, and I'm going to stay with Him until I hear from Him directly some promises for me. Not for Dawson Trotman, not for the Navigators, but for me, this chubby guy from the Iowa farm, Lorne Sanny." Well, I didn't know how that was going to all work out, but it did. It took me about 10 weeks. And I avoided the book of Isaiah because that's where Dawson got his promises, and I wanted my own. By a circuitous route, however, I got back to one of his. Isaiah 43:4-6. Now I'll read it to you. "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for you and people for your life." You can exchange your life for people. Now that is the very essence of the whole Navigator ministry. You can exchange your life for people. I had exchanged my life for those 9 high school boys and Lucy for their girlfriends and for this one military man. That you can do it. Jesus said, "Except a grain of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." You can exchange your life for people. And then he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. I'll bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth." And from the first time I ever prayed with Dawson, it was always somewhere in that prayer would be the whole world, the ends of the earth. I thought, you know, it's it, the whole world, the ends of the earth. And I felt that God, as a sort of a microcosm of that, was going to bring people here, Glen Eyrie, the east, the west, the north, and the south. 2 years ago, about now, I took 26 Asian Navigator leaders up to Dawson's grave on the site of Razorback. And I told them a little more, elaborate on this story, but I came to this scripture, this promise. I said, now God promised it to Dawson. He promised it to me. He's promised it to other Navigators since. And here you are. Here you are, right here. A couple of months later, Jerry White asked me if I would take his international leadership team, about 45 of them were here, on the same little prayer walk. And again, I pointed out Isaiah 43:4-6, that God told Dawson, told me, told others, and here you are. No matter how many promises God has made, They are yes in Christ. And they are not for a chosen few. They're not for DOS or me or NAV leaders. God is impartial. These promises are open to anybody. Walk around and pick one up. Claim it. Carry it with you. And pray about it. And many times as we pray, DOS liked to begin by saying, and reminding both of us, thou art coming to a king. Great petitions with you bring. For his wisdom and power are such that none can ask too much. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes and amen in Christ. Thank you.